Gospel of John, chapter 13, please. John, chapter 13. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The supper being ended, the devil having now put in his heart, in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Now that would just mean something far deeper than the fact that he had washed their feet. Obviously, they knew he had done that. But there was a significance to it. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. And remember, as Peter has already called him Lord. Verse 14, If I then your Lord and Master, and we know it's often pointed out how he reverses that, and have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do. Now it does not say what I have done to you, but should do as, or in like manner things I have done to you. Now over, please, to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. It's just coming to my mind as I'm reading, so let me find the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, Because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And finally, over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. And that's in the early stages, or the immaturity of life, if you like. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body, fitly joined together and compacteth that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part maketh the increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, now is a change, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. If you were to take a penknife to remove all the references that there are in your New Testament concerning the believer's walk, his manner of life, even more so than his talk. Much is said about that, but so much is said about the believer's walk. It makes it all much that much more significant what we have read together this morning and what we see taking place in the upper room. I don't think that the disciples had any inkling what was going to happen just then and the order of it. I'm not saying that they didn't understand that it would be customary for the feet washing to take place. But can you imagine, just kind of capture the thinking of these men as they watch him stand up, watch him gird himself with a towel, and starts to make the round, washing the feet of his own. I sometimes have thought, and likely I've heard of the ministry or whatever, but really, his were the only feet that didn't need to be washed. But more than that, he was the only one qualified to do it. Now, it was not that there had been so many bad places to which they had gone or what they'd been doing, but really their occupation of their hearts, what was really taking them at this time, they were not in a spiritual condition to be responsible for the walk of somebody else. If this teaches me anything that is of ultra importance this morning, dear child of God, it is this, that I do have a responsibility to you, younger or older, as a believer, to your walk. And likewise you to me. That's why believers and not just overseers, but others will come to you and say, no, 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 you don't want to go there. That will affect your testimony. And sometimes that's met with great resistance and, who are you? And you have this control over me? In the world of independence, in the world of self. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 4. It just came to my mind this morning as I was thinking about that. Paul says that ye walk no more. That ye walk no more as other Gentiles. How do they walk? In the vanity, can I add, of their minds? Vanity. And we live in a vain world. We do. And all of us are guilty of it. We're very conscious of how we appear, how we look. And we sometimes literally throw it off and say, I don't care. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There was no one that cared more for these disciples than the Lord himself. There was no one that loved them more. If I learn a valuable lesson, it is this, that I have absolutely no reason or right to try and help you as a believer in your walk if I don't love you. I know it's a favorite of mine, but let it be that. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Isn't that what Paul says concerning Timothy? I have no man like-minded that will naturally care for your soul. That wasn't something that was coming from his nature. But there was just a part of Timothy. Quiet, and however you want to describe Timothy, you can't take this from him. He had a genuine care for others. But let me ask you this morning, as I ask my own heart, in what way have you demonstrated your love to a fellow believer? And he knew that what you were doing was only because you loved him. Sure, there's the unconverted neighbor across the street, and you might do things to help him, and we do. I know lots of you here do the same thing. But to a fellow believer, in what way have you put yourself out to convey to that believer, I love you? And pardon me, I don't think there's anything wrong with telling a believer you love them. I love you. Sometimes we're afraid of that. Listen, in a million years, we would never come near the Pentecostals. Don't worry about it. Okay? Won't happen. We can't even get brother to say amen. I took a funeral in northern New Brunswick here about, a month ago. Pardon me, it was back in January. And It's just coming to my mind now. There was the organist sitting behind me, and I really didn't know the man that well. I was asked to come up. Sorry, the lady that well. I'd taken the man's funeral just a while, her son-in-law a while before that. But I was just preaching the gospel. And there were religious people sitting there. And I don't even know what I said, but to my surprise, it wasn't the organ. It was the one sitting on the bench said, "Amen." Boy, I thought she could teach some of our brethren something. Really? About the best you can get out of some of them is a muffle into the lapels of their coat. What's wrong with us anyhow? It's scriptural, brethren. It's scriptural. Now, I'm getting off track here. Let's just get backtracked. Don't get me on things like that, okay? Back here to feet washing. John 13 and John 15 deal with two things in their right order. Cleanliness and fruitfulness. If I learned something from the teaching of the Savior himself, that if there's going to be fruitfulness in your life and my life, there must be first cleanliness. Remember what the apostle says about lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting? So must those hands be clean. There's so much today that we can reach out to in a world of defilement. Reach the hand out to take once what you've been saved from. Shame on professed believers that say everybody's doing it. There's nothing wrong with lifting that glass of wine. It's a meal. And there's countries, you know, where the you're not in that kind of a country. What about your testimony? Now, the Lord was concerned about the hands of these disciples. But he was, can I say, infinitely interested in their walk. Peter is the only man to whom I know that he said, the first words he said to him and the last words were exactly the same. Follow me. Follow me. Full-time job, brethren and sisters. It is a full-time job. And I want to say that it doesn't get easier. I think that sometimes younger believers think that some of us get to a stage and age in life where it's kind of cruise, you know, we're just kind of, well, we might be on the slope, okay, but it's not on cruise. Man said to me the other day, he says, my man, he says, you're over the hill. I said, I'm not under it anyhow. Something to be said for that. So there is first cleanliness and fruitfulness. But the believer, the disciple, is responsible for one and the result of the other. For one, the feet washing. The other, the fruit bearing. But it's interesting that when it comes to this, feet washing was the lowest task in the house. It was often someone that was a slave. It was the work of slaves. There was never a greater bond servant than the Lord Jesus. He said, I am among you as one that serveth. Serve. You know, we can be so occupied in serving our own interest. And then, well, we'll look after you, but we'll serve my own interest first. How about serving the interest of others? That's exactly what the Lord was doing here. You have three things here. I won't have time to cover them, but you have the sop, you have the supper, and you have the symbols. But it's to me, it's literally tremendous to think that the hands that literally shaped the universe now is going to lift feet into his hands, and he knew where they had been for the past 24 hours. He knew where they had been for the last few months, even for years. He would still lift them into his hands. Hands that would touch the blind and give them sight. These are the hands that will lift feet. What kind of feet were they that he was lifting? Well, instead of standing in his defense of his cause, they would be dashing for cover. They would forsake him. Even after he'd washed their feet. You say they must have been short of memory. So are we. That's why we have done what we have done this morning. Because we are creatures prone to forget. We forget that we were bond slaves. We forget that we were guilty sinners. Sometimes we forget just what God has really done in our lives. And I'm not standing here to lift the accusing or the pointing finger at the disciples.
except to say this, their ministry, whatever task, whatever interest they took, would be fruitless and empty had not this taken place. He is telling them, you may not know what's going on here now, but hereafter you will know. I mean, the utter shock as they drew back and thought, what is this about? What's this for? We can get this done. Why is he doing it? Before that body was taken down from that cross, and before likely even he appeared to them, and maybe it was during that, they understood without any explanation why he was doing this. To prepare them for a life of ministry without him at their side made necessary that going forth would be with clean feet. Regardless of the type of ministry that's been given at this conference, it is all with the purpose of exalting one person in our lives. Now, I'm sorry, and you can tell whatever country you like to tell, that I part company with these people that say, oh, you know, he's not much of a teacher. He's just kind of a gospel preacher. Oh, is that so? Who is the best gospel preacher in the New Testament? The Lord himself. Who is the best teacher in the New Testament? The Lord himself. Who is the next best gospel preacher in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul. And who is the best teacher? The Apostle Paul. There's nothing like a relationship with your own family. The man that I owe a lot to that started his days working with me, and I think of the patience he had. And of course, at that age, in your 20s, I mean, did he need to know anything? Why didn't he ask me? I had all the answers then. Far more than I do now. He told me there's two people in your life that'll keep you humble. The children that sit around your table and the children that you have in the faith. You know, I could add to that. I speak for every believer here today. And I'm not taking ground today that I shouldn't take. But it's delightful when you see children genuinely born into God's family and you would consider them as sons in the faith or daughters in the faith. And they bring you joy. It's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Likewise in a family. Children that will bring us joy. Only while I'm standing here. And I say it carefully. A man came to me at a conference number of years ago, and I'm going to tell you the conference of the man. He was commenting on the children. You know what he said to me? I said first to him, listen, they're not all in heaven yet. He turned back, he looked at me, he said something I'll never forget, but I'm afraid he forgot. You know what he said to me? You're not either. You're not either. I'm sorry. I know what it is to sit next to that man, break bread with him. I knew it was to preach with him. He's not in the assembly fellowship today. Were his feet never washed? Like they preached this passage. And so it is with reservation, very guardedly, I would dare take up such a sacred passage as this. You know, we sometimes race over it on the way to what we think are bigger things in the passage, like the institution of the Lord's Supper. This here is absolutely indispensable. That's why I read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to you. When Paul goes over, you'll notice what Paul does. I love it. I love it. I was going to say the keenness of his mind, but the accuracy of the Spirit of God as he gives us the Word of God. Notice he doesn't mention the tongue. That was all a problem in Corinth. How come he doesn't mention the tongue? You don't have to worry about the tongue if the foot is right. He puts the two together. I only know of one lady that had feet that spoke. It was my old school teacher. I was in a store one day, likely 10 years after I had gotten out of her class that I spent 8 years in. I listened to a walk and I looked behind me. It's my old teacher. Oh, I could hear that coming down the row of chairs in our one-room school. Oh, what's on now? For some strange reason, she didn't like the McCandlesses. We'll not go there right now. But her feet spoke. There's something in that walk. I'm just talking about the shoes that she wore. And you tell her walk. But what's Paul say? If the foot shall say. If the foot shall say. Why don't you take the foot first? Because you see, if that walk is right. If that walk is right, the talk will be right too. Okay. They likely won't contradict. I know I've spoken maybe even from this platform on dear King Asa. A man that will die diseased in his feet. A physician. A physician. Doctor said to me not too long ago, he said, sent me over for a blood test, just a routine thing every year. And he says, you know, it's amazing. I looked at the list and I said, wow, tell all those things from the blood? He says, you won't believe today what we can tell you from. He says, I can tell you as much from your feet as I can tell you from your blood. And listen, he's not some hoot doctor either. This is a medical doctor that's got his head on. The condition of your feet will tell the condition of your heart. Now, that's coming from a medical authority. That's not me. I'm no authority on any type of medicine. The condition of your feet indicates the condition of your heart. Isn't that so true? Because, see, our hearts can be drawn just as these disciples were out to whatever. And who is there this morning that doesn't need to have their feet washed? Isn't it true that that happens at a conference? Sure it does. Sure it does. Very unconsciously, subconsciously, you come to a conference and you go away. Sure, you're refreshed. You know, that coincides with what he is teaching here. That there is a refreshment in it. Paul speaks of a believer, and he says, he oft refreshed me, sought me out diligently. If I bumped into him. And there were men that came from Corinth, the last place you would think someone would come that could encourage someone. And they visited Paul. And they were the first fruits in his gospel preaching. They said, they refreshed me. Isn't it nice to be refreshed? I know we appreciate interaction and fellowship, but there's something to sit under the ministry of the Word of God and your soul is refreshed. Well, that's going on. You know what's happening? Your feet are being washed. By who? Not by the man standing on this podium. Your feet spiritually are being washed by the same one that washed these feet here. So it's important for us to understand that all service for the Master must begin with a clean walk. No mention is the washing of the hands. And of course, the truth is that if my service is going to be acceptable, it'll be based upon my walk. Paul says about those other Gentiles, he says, you don't walk like that. I'm sorry that I have to tell you today that there are those that would actually condone that you're saved, you're not under law, and there's nobody says where you can't go whatever night of the week. And there's nobody that says that you can't go where the world goes. After all, you're separated. Those stadiums won't kill you. Yes, they will. Pardon a rather a crude illustration. I've never told this from a platform. I know a young brother, and this is 20 years ago, talked into going to a big stadium where there was a big ball game going on, the football game. He said, I was never so out of place in all my life. And he said, I love the game. I'll watch it whenever I can. I'm just telling you what he told me. He said, we left the bleachers that day. Our team lost. And the filth that came out of their mouths was one thing. He says, you know what is a harder job going out of that stadium? Trying to walk around the urine on the concrete. Well, you say it doesn't happen where I go. Not yet. Not yet. Don't go there, dear brother. Don't go there, dear sister. He say, well, there's other things you can do that are worse. Yeah, there likely is. But the Lord did not wash their feet so they could just kind of get on with their lives and go where they went before. Paul doesn't write to the Ephesians and say, that's all right, you carry on, you'll be able to reach those people. I go over ones that we know from the Word of God, their feet took them to a wrong place. Not only a clean walk, but a controlled walk. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Must be a consistent walk. Nice to see believers, and there's just a consistency about them. You don't have to worry, is everything okay? All right. But there is that consistency. So there's a clean walk. There's a controlled walk. There's a consistent walk, which should mark us as believers. Being faithful. Being consistent. Are you really willing to serve others? I'm reminded of a man. He's really in the U.S. forces. His name was Bob Dole. He ran for the presidency of the country, of the United States. He didn't make it. And one time when he's on the campaign trail, he was running for president at that time, and there was an article, and the cameraman had come to the hotel where they were staying and rang the bell, and Mr. Dole said, come on in. And to his amazement, he walked in, and Mrs. Dole is sitting down. And Bob Dole, as you remember, the man had already one arm that had been injured in battle. He's making the bid. And the reporter says, does this happen often? Is this just for me? Bob Dole was no slouch. He says, you don't know the half of it. The only reason that Elizabeth has stood up to help is because you're in the room. In other words, you aren't here. My job. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm always one of those that believe, of course, it's been very easy for me. This last one on the bed makes it. At least make it. Scripture, you know that, don't you? Said unto Enos, arise, make your bed. So may God help us as the conference continues. We go into the last ministry meeting of the conference. I trust that we'll leave whatever our walk has been. If there's got to be confession in our lives, but let's go in for feet washing. Be willing to have our feet washed by others. When others want to correct us, there's no age, no stage in life by which we cannot be warned, cautioned, or have our feet washed.